Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. This interview is with Madison Lagares, who is a 13-year-old amazing actor that I've had the pleasure of knowing since she was, I think, nine and a half when she was first doing School of Rock. So I've seen her career grow quite a bit in the last couple of years. 13 now, incredibly genuine. She realizes she has got such a good thing going with multiple Broadway credits, TV and film credits. She's been auditioning for Disney. She's been doing workshops with John Mellencamp. She has a recording contract now with a record label, so she's going to start putting out her own music in both English and in Spanish. She's just got so much going on. I think we're going to be able to easily say we knew her when. She still prioritizes school, which I think is incredibly cool and incredibly humble. She realizes that an education is everything, but everybody, just please keep your eye on her, support her. She is such an amazing and fun person to talk to. Find me online on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast. I'm on facebook.com/officialtheaterpodcast. Hit that like button, leave a rating, leave a review wherever you are listening now. And everybody, please enjoy this episode now with Madison Elizabeth Lagares.
Here you go. 1, 2, 3.
My guest today is a highly accomplished Broadway veteran with numerous TV credits, including one of my favorite shows, Search Party. She was hand-selected by Gloria Estefan in Get On Your Feet, helped bring School of Rock to life with Alex Brightman, has recently signed to a recording label, and has become buds with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and happens to currently be workshopping a new musical with John Mellencamp. And she's only 13. Madison Lagares, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good, good, good. I actually, yeah, we were talking before we started rolling that we met three and a half years ago for when you were doing School of Rock. It's been that long. And I mean, 3.5 years when you're 13 is a good chunk of your life.
It is.
But you've been performing for how long? When did you start performing?
I started professionally performing when I was around 8 or 9 years old. That was when I started professionally, but I've been in the business since I was like 5 or 6 years old. So it's been a long time, definitely.
I was scrolling back through your Instagram feed trying to prep for this, and it looks like you have a picture with Alex Brightman, which means School of Rock, in a very similar time frame from starting Get On Your Feet. So did you get cast for Get On Your Feet while workshopping School of Rock, or how did the timeline work out?
So when I was in, I got into On Your Feet around, I can't say how many years, it was a while ago. I was around 9 or 10 years old, and I was pretty young at the time. And, you know, just to get some background on, you know, how the industry works, since it was my first time on Broadway, my parents took me to see a couple of Broadway shows, and School of Rock was ironically one of them. And so I went, I was completely in awe. I was, I watched Alex Brightman on stage, and just everyone, they were so talented. And I remember, like, vividly after the show ended, I was on the other side of the gate. I was, like, you know, asking for their autographs. I took the photo that you saw with Alex Brightman. And I remember, you know, after I finished School of Rock, after the after party, I took, like, the same picture with Alex Brightman just, like, 3 years later. And it was very ironic. And I loved it so much. And it was a great experience, definitely. So
you've been singing since, you said, 5 or 6?
Yes, 5 or 6, but more professionally, like 8 or 9. Yeah.
So at what point then, I mean, is it you? Is it your parents? At what point are you just walking around the house singing at 5 or 6? And then you're like, I need to take lessons. I need to get, you know, go to classes. Where does the professionalism start to get turned up? And where is school in all of this?
My parents tell me the story all the time. When I was younger, I was very, like, you know, active and very energetic, you know, in nicer terms. I was energetic, and they decided that they needed to find me kind of an outlet. So they put me in, like, everything under the sun, from, like, soccer and ballet and tap and, you know, all these different things. And I enjoyed them. It just wasn't really, you know, it didn't really speak to me like in the way that singing and musical theater did. So after they put me into musical theater, I literally put all my time and effort into it. And I just knew it was something that I wanted to do with my life. So that was me at like, you know, 5 or 6 years old. I was like, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. So my parents decided to invest in vocal lessons, and I got this amazing vocal teacher. And she said, when I kind of tried out for her, she said that my voice was actually very strong. So she wanted to like lead me kind of, you know, into a different path than I wanted. So I was more like, you know, I kind of want to be on Broadway now, and even though I was a bit young. But she trained me. She taught me the techniques and everything that I need to learn, like how to breathe in my diaphragm. And it was definitely a lot, because even though my voice was strong, I still needed some, you know, touch up things to do. And it was definitely a different path. And after a while of vocal lessons and, you know, touching up my voice, I auditioned for Broadway, and that's when I got On Your Feet. And I definitely learned a lot on the way, like, to On Your Feet and during On Your Feet. And I learned how to be, like, a professional, like, 9-year-old girl. And I definitely matured a lot faster than your average 9-year-old. But I knew my way around the industry, and it was fun. And after On Your Feet ended, they wanted me to do the tour. But as you said before, I didn't want to miss school, you know, so much, especially since I was like, you know, in my primary years of school. So I decided to stay. And I did school, like, either when I was doing rehearsals, they would bring a tutor over with us. We would tutor while we were doing rehearsals, especially like in School of Rock and stuff like that. So school was definitely still a main priority with me, and it still is. No matter, like, you know, how busy I get, I always make sure to keep school in that specific path. And yeah, so it's definitely been busy, you know, my whole life, but I managed to keep it all balanced and everything. So
it's fascinating to me. Because where you are now, 2 Broadway shows under your belt, you've got a recording contract, which, side note, you plan on recording in both English and Spanish, which I think is very lovely. And it speaks to the lack of representation I think we have, and we'll get to that. But I'm fascinated because at 13, you have gone farther than a lot of people go in their entire careers, their entire lives, right? They come to the city, they start working to live instead of living to work, and they can't make those 5 a.m. cattle calls, and they can't get up and do these big auditions, and or never get an agent or whatever the case is. So at what point, I mean, so I guess, was it your parents or did you already know somebody that got you that audition for that voice coach? And then was it the voice coach that got you the audition for Get On Your Feet?
Well, it was definitely, since I was a little girl, it was definitely my mom. She always pushed me to, you know, be very, you know, on it with different things, to be organized. And that's what she taught me ever since I was just at a very young age. So when I told her that I wanted to go into the singing and the acting and the industry, she was very fond of it. She's like, okay, and we just need to work on your craft. So she researches everything. Like, even now, she like goes through like YouTube videos and like, you know, goes through people's Instagrams just to like, you know, it's just to get all the research that I need to get before, you know, auditions and everything. And at that point, she was, she knew that it's what I wanted to do. So she found a vocal teacher. She's like, this is like the best of the best. We need to, you know, get you in with this woman. And I got in, and it was definitely hard finding my vocal teacher, but my parents and my mom especially, she just pushed for me to, you know, get it and to have like, you know, the background and everything. So it's, I'm definitely grateful to her for like, you know, keeping me on top. So it's definitely all her. So
yeah. Well, in terms of schooling then, if you knew, I mean, you said at 5, you knew what you wanted to do. 5 or 6, you're like, I want to be on Broadway. And then it started to happen. And so then I've talked to a lot of people in their 20s and their 30s and even in their 40s and later who didn't go to college or didn't finish college, right? And we're talking about college. You haven't even made it through high school yet. And obviously you need to make it through high school. You got to get at least that going on. But they're... And I don't know actually which camp I'm in, but there are people who are like, if you know you can get a job, if you know you have a career and a future, then you don't need to go to college. But there are others that are like, I mean, you look at, I think famously like Natalie Portman, right? Who big, is child actor, who then still went to college, or even James Franco, right? Like, he's got this reputation for being a total stoner, but he went to Columbia. So he obviously, education is important to them outside of their craft. So have you thought ahead to this point in your life later on of, I mean, I guess it might be a little too early to say, but have you, at this point right now, 13, do you know sort of where you want to go, what you want to do? Do you want to move into the recording artist side or stay on Broadway?
I think it's definitely been a hard decision on what path to go on. I definitely think that for me, you know, going down the college path would be, you know, best for me as, you know, you know, as like I'm a child now, so I'm definitely don't have like, it's way far up the road. But I do think that education is definitely very important. And, you know, just having, you know, college on your background is just, you know, it's very, it's easy to get into different things with that kind of thing. And I think that it'll also build a lot of experience for me if I go down that path. But I do definitely, it's in between whether I want to go to the recording aspect or the, the recording aspect or the Broadway aspect. I like both of them equally. I just think that, you know, at the moment I'm going towards the, you know, since Broadway is kind of shut down with COVID and everything, I'm, you know, I want to stay active and everything with my voice, and I want to keep my voice, you know, working. So I think that definitely recording would definitely be a good, you know, path for me to go on at the moment. I'm planning to record different genres of songs because I'm definitely an eclectic when it comes to music. I know all different types of genres, and I know that it'll definitely be a good path for me. So that's definitely it. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I presented the question as either or, but actually I think that there's a great opportunity now, especially with technology, the internet, all of the ways that we can do things at home even, which the last year and a half has shown us that you could probably, I won't say easily, but you can do both. You can do sort of a thing where you are recording during the day and performing 8 shows a week at night, you know, once you get to that sort of time frame in your life, I think that there's a lot of opportunity there. But I want to go back to the, like, I guess being a child in the industry, right? And I compare myself to you at 13, and I thought I was the shit when I was 13, yeah. Right? And girls mature faster than guys and whatnot, but I don't think I would have ever had the wherewithal that you do, and even other children. Like, talking to Andrew Barth Feldner, right? I talked to him when he was 18, and he's only 18 now. It was last year, but like these children, you included, blow me away. And you even did when I first met you, you know, 3.5 years ago for School of Rock. Like, more talent in your little finger than I have in my whole body. And I am so impressed with your dedication and how you're willing to I guess. Stay open to change. You don't walk into these situations like I think I would have and been like, I'm here, so everyone give me the part now. You know what I mean?
Yes. I definitely, it's definitely a process, and it takes some time to get used to it in general. But I definitely, being an on your feet, it gave me a lot of experience, you know, how to, it's easy to, you know, go into an audition and to, you know, be prepared and everything. It's just the way that you prepare for the audition in general and how you go about it and how you speak to people. And it's definitely difficult. And I know that being dedicated is definitely a big part of it too. You have to always, you know, be there, and you have to be just like, it's hard to explain like into words, but being, you know, in the moment all the time. And so you have to be dedicated in general. You have to be organized, which is something that I had to learn because I was, you know, when I was younger, I was definitely kind of unorganized and kind of unfit together. Like in my first audition, it was like so long ago. It was like 6 years ago. I went into this audition. I was like 6 years old, 7 years old. And my mom had like the week before taken a photo with like her iPhone 4 or something, just of me in the front of my backyard, and she printed that out, and that was my headshot. And so I went into this audition, and everyone was like so professional. They had everything ready, they were so prepared, they had these professional headshots, like full resumes, and I was just like, what am I doing here? I was like, what is going on here? And so it was after that, I was like, you know, I need to start working on that, get more prepared. And so after that audition, which actually I was talking to the director of who was auditioning me at that exact audition. She was telling me that she actually kept my resume and my my small little headshot. Yeah. She saw something in me that that I guess I didn't see at the time, but she saw it in me and she believed in me, which is definitely, it made me, you know, more confident in that aspect. But I definitely know that after that audition, I was like, you know, I'm going to get a professional headshot, a professional resume. I'm going to do more things to build my resume. And you definitely have to be prepared. That's why I have like a songbook of different genres. I have like a theater songbook, a pop songbook, and a binder and everything. So you definitely have to be prepared when it comes to just not only auditioning, but, you know, being in the industry, because you never know when someone might, you know, need you to perform this song, or you never know. That's the thing about the industry. You never know when you might need to go on for this role. You just always have to have that in the back of your brain, and you always have to be prepared for something like that to happen. So, yeah.
What about the TV and film side of things? Because having a talented child who can sing and is humble and, like, you know, all the things we've just been talking about, have you tried to audition for TV and film? Because it seems like you'd just be perfect to lead this Disney show that, you know, and on Disney Channel, right? It's like, you know, hangout time with Madison. I'm trying to think of a good alliteration, but I couldn't think of one.
Well, I definitely have auditioned for Disney multiple times, actually. I definitely know it's harder since I'm in New York and some of them are based off in LA. So the traveling aspect is a bit hard, but I think it was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a producer session with these Disney execs and I was just getting prepared and everything. And I was really confident in it. They basically had me, you know, sing a song. They had me do these lines and it was for the main character of the show. And I was just, this was my first producer session that I've ever done in my life. And it was definitely on Zoom, which made it a lot, you know, easier. Because if it was in person, I would have been like, what is going on here? So I was in the comfort of my own home. I was, you know, very chill. I had my, you know, trusty water bottle with me. So it was definitely, it was easier on the, you know, being here and just more comfortable. But I definitely had a lot of experience. And they told me, a couple of, I think, days ago, that they wanted someone older for the role. And so they said that I was very close to getting the role. They just wanted someone older. And I didn't look at it as like failure. I looked at it more as like, you know, experience. So I got to learn tons about being in a producer session, how to answer questions, how to, you know, be in that aspect. So it was definitely a good experience. And I think the movie and the TV aspect to just, you know, my career. I've been working on a lot of movies, you know, since I was younger. I've been in short films, TV shows like Search Party, which is your show that you're very fond of. And I think that it's definitely a change between the two of them. There's definitely different, very, very different. Because I know that, I say this to people all the time, that theater is very different from, you know, being on camera, because in theater, you always have to overemphasize your reactions and your movements with your face and you have to overproject. Whereas in TV, it's more natural. It's more on the natural side. You don't have to like over, you know, exaggerate your facial features or anything. So I definitely think it's definitely a bit of a change, but the more you adapt to it and the more, if you can switch between those two, like flawlessly, then I think it gets easier along the way. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's, if you, you know, have the right teachers and if you have the right people to, you know, lead you along the way, then you'll definitely grow.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode. There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that five times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no-fuss, no-mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up, so just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Who do you sort of model, do you, I guess, model your songbook or your career or anything after a certain type of performance or a certain type of performer? I guess because what I'm getting at sort of is the lack of representation in our industry that I alluded to earlier, right? Like, it's been a lot of straight or a lot of white people, a lot of straight white people who are in the creative seat. And looking back, you know, when you started, obviously there's been a great amount of social reckoning that's happened in the last two or three years. And then even more so, I still don't know how Broadway is going to come back and show the change that everyone needs to see in a good way. But I guess I'll stop talking there. At what, who did you look up to? Who do you look up to now, if you look up to anybody, and sort of, how do you feel about all this?
Well, I think that everyone has, you know, some sort of person that they model after. Definitely for me, it's not like a specific, you know, it's not like a specific one person. I think it's, you know, multiple people, actually, I think. And when it comes to the, you know, acting TV show, I think it's more of, let's see, I like Angelina Jolie. I think she's just a very authentic actress. Also, Meryl Streep, she's a legend. She's great when it comes to, she's like a triple threat. She can, I love watching movies with her in it. She can act, she can sing, she can dance. She's just a triple threat. And that's what I want to be, definitely, when I grow up. And when it comes to the Broadway aspect of things, definitely people like Mandy Gonzalez. She's just an amazing, you know, person in real life. She's very talented when it comes to singing and acting. And she's also, she's Latina. So she's, you know, part of my heritage. And so I think it's something to definitely look at, look up to as a person. And I think that also Idina Menzel is amazing. Also, not even in the Broadway aspect, but when it comes to singing, definitely, if you want to move back in time, you have Aretha Franklin, you have, you know, Billie Holiday, and you have, you know, those genres of music. And but now more into the, I'm more into the pop now, since, you know, everyone's listening to pop. I like people like Dua Lipa. Lady Gaga has always been one of my, you know, idols. She's amazing. She's, her singing is just so, like, unique, and that's what I love about singers nowadays. They're just, they have, like, unique voices. Like, you can listen to someone and be like, oh, that's Ariana Grande, or oh, that's Lady Gaga. And I've always, I guess I've always wanted to, you know, have a voice that's just very unique, and you can be like, oh, like, one day you can be like, oh, that's Madison Lagares, I guess. And just being, I think that's just a really great accomplishment to have a voice that you can just hear and be like, oh, that's that. So definitely unique voices, people who are like that. And also people who stay true to their, not only their roots, but just to them in general, like Selena. She Latina, but she didn't necessarily speak, you know, Latin, like full on fluent Spanish, but she definitely went back to her roots. She sang all these Spanish songs, and she was known, like, not only in America, but in also Latin America. So that's something that you, that's a really great accomplishment, especially. So I love people that stay true to their heritage, their ethnicity, and just them as a person. So those are definitely people I look up to, and I kind of want to be like when I grow up. So
Well, I think you did a really good job. Again, going back to your Instagram feed, It not often do I look at a 13-year-old's Instagram feed, right? I was very, very happy to see the feed was so well. I mean, all your photos and your captions, and it was all just so thoughtful and kind. I think that's what surprised me the most, is just how it comes across, how kind you are in how you present yourself. And I can tell that even by talking with you now, that's not an act, right? I think you really are this kind of person, and I can tell that you want to express yourself. You want to do good in the world. You want to just feel happy in your career. And I want to go back too to the fact you turned down the tour of Get On Your Feet to stay in school. I don't know how many other people in this situation would have done that either. Like, you're still very grounded through all of this.
Yeah, it's definitely, I have my parents to thank for that. You know, being 13, especially now that I'm, you know, in school in person too, just being in middle school in general, it can definitely be hard, because there's a lot of, you know, kids who, like, especially you have to choose your friend groups wisely, because it really, you know, matters in which friend group you're in, because, you know, as people, some people learn the hard way, and some people, they learn by people telling them. Definitely stay true to who you are, because especially in middle school and high school, when you get to that aspect of your life, it's really hard to, you know, hang around with people, and they can kind of change who you are as a person. And you always want to, like, live up to other people's expectations. And that's something that, you know, I've always, it's been hard to, you know, be kind of, you know, stay true to who I am, I guess, in general. And especially being in the industry, everyone, I guess they look at you a certain way. And when people don't actually know that in real life, I'm more on the mellow side, the shy side, and people are just like, "Whoa!" But you were on Broadway, and I don't like to I don't brag about Broadway. It's definitely something that I don't do. People obviously they know, they can see it on my Instagram, but I always make sure to, you know, stay humble with it, and I don't want to, you know, brag about a lot of things. So I'm definitely, people are shocked to hear that I'm like more on the shy, you know, side, and they're like, "Whoa, that's kind of surprising." So there's definitely that. And with my, you know, social media, my Instagram is definitely, there's been a lot of times that I was like, "Hey, can I post a selfie?" kind of thing. And it's more like you kind of want to keep, you know, a certain, you know, theme to your Instagram, I guess. You don't want to seem, you know, especially if, you know, a producer or something, they look at your Instagram because you're, you know, in the works for a role. You definitely want to keep it so that clean, I guess. So it's been my parents. They're kind of like my kind of people. They help me with my captions. They help me be like eloquent, because like sometimes when you're, especially being virtual all year, you kind of learn all these like acronyms and like texting. You say like LOL, and you can't really put that kind of stuff in your professional Instagram. So it's definitely been a challenge since I'm, you know, also a teenager. But my parents, definitely, I have them to thank for that. And so they also keep me grounded and, you know, who I am as a person and all that. So, yeah.
I was gonna go to your parents next, actually, because something that we'll get into at the end, one of the closing questions, this is similar to this. I don't want to give it away because I want your answer in the moment there. But I'm going to ask sort of what do your parents do right in the industry? Because you have stage moms and stage dads, stage parents, right, that just can go turn into monsters on behalf of their children. And I have never met your parents. They're not on this interview, but I get the impression that they're not like that.
Yes. They're very authentic people, definitely. And I know that it's been kind of hard, you know, with my mom. Since I have a younger sister, she's also in school. She's 2.5 years younger than I am. So it's hard, you know, being a parent. Obviously, I don't know what it's like to have two children, obviously, but she has to keep my younger sister, you know, in school. She has to keep her, you know, but she has to keep, you know, her in school, and me, you know, she has to, you know, see all the auditions that I'm auditioning for. She has to make sure they're clean. And also my dad, in the aspect, he helps me with my, you know, kind of my, press, you know, what to say, how to respond to questions. You know, he kind of helped me with like how to, you know, work on interviews kind of like this when I was much younger. So it's definitely, I'm still working on it, you know, how to, you know, be eloquent with my words and everything. But they definitely both help in that aspect. And I know that on Broadway, they were both insanely, my whole family, actually, they were insanely supportive of me. And my mom, normally, she would drive me into the city, which is like an hour away from here. She'd drive me in every day there. And my dad would pick me up since he worked in the city. He actually works in the Catskills now. But basically, yeah, so they would both, you know, contribute to, you know, bringing me to there, from there, they'd watch the shows. They would literally wait hours just so I can get off the show. And they were both very supportive, and they were definitely, you know, very involved in my career ever since I was a little girl. So I definitely have them to thank for that.
That's really cool. Well, you're very lucky to have, you know, two parents who are supportive of such a volatile career in the arts, but obviously they can see the talent that is there, and hopefully, you know, you can continue. And this is just the beginning, especially as you get into high school. I mean, the voice matures, the acting matures, and you're going to go places, I think, especially with the recording artist side of stuff here. So we can all say we knew you win, but tell me about, In the Heights, which as we record this, it's going to come out in 9 days. What the representation of the Latinx community, what does this mean to you personally in this movie, in the show?
Well, I'm insanely excited for this to come out. I feel like I've been waiting a long time for a movie like this to come out, because, you know, on Broadway and in certain movies and everything, there hasn't been a lot of, you know, Latina, Hispanic, you know, side of that. And it's exciting to, you know, show other people that side of us, you know, especially the music and the dancing. And I think that it's something that I'm definitely proud of. I'm definitely very proud of being a Latina, because just my heritage, and also food is amazing. Totally amazing. But it's definitely, I'm very proud to be a Latina, and I know that other people are too. And it's just something that I feel like we've all been waiting to show other people. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy In the Heights, just not only In the Heights in general. I just feel like a lot of things are going to pick up. I hope so. In Broadway and like movies and TV shows, when it comes to like Latina and all that. And I think that people are really going to enjoy it, and they're just going to love it as much as we do. So that's definitely what I think in that aspect. And I'm just very excited for it to happen.
That's very cool. All right. So the last thing I'm going to ask you before we wrap up is something I teased at the very beginning, that you're working on a new musical with John Mellencamp. Right?
I'm so excited for that. It's, I think we started the readings like a year and a half. I think it was around a year and a half ago. And it was a process to start the readings. I was younger when I started. It was actually on my birthday of like last year. That's what I remember. I literally celebrated my birthday being in that amazing, with all those amazing people. They sang happy birthday for me. But it was my first reading that I've done. I don't think I've done any workshops when it comes to Broadway. I've always either come, you know, towards the end, like the last cast and everything. So it was definitely a great experience. And it's not something that a lot of people can say, like I was in the reading and hopefully I go through, you know, till when it gets on, if it gets on Broadway. So hopefully I get to have all that experience under my belt. And it was definitely a great experience, especially working with the amazing John Mellencamp. He's just such a legend in the music community. And I learned a lot from him. He definitely gave me some notes, and it was just such like the music, the people, it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. So, and I definitely want to do it again.
That's very cool. Is there anything else that you're allowed to say about it? Is there a timeline? I guess it sort of shut down for COVID, and is it going to pick back up again?
I don't think it didn't necessarily shut down for COVID. It was more like they actually had us doing some things at home. They sent us like some tracks, and they wanted us to record some of the songs that's going to be in the show. We didn't necessarily do so we did the reading twice. You know, we did it one at, you know, in the place like about a year and a half ago, and about a couple of months ago, we did a Zoom reading, like, you know, like this, and we had our lines in front of us. It was more like a reading. And about a couple of weeks ago, actually, it's still going. So a couple of weeks ago, they had us, you know, record professionally a couple of songs that we had to do with a backing track. And, you know, hopefully after, when things start picking up again, we get to go in person and just record, you know, like professionally and do the scenes and the choreography and everything so that it can maybe hopefully go into workshop and previews and hopefully get into Broadway. So that's kind of like a process. It's definitely a lot more intricate than that, but that's just like the simpler version of it.
Well, of course, you know, I know like some shows literally take 8 to 10 years to get onto Broadway, and yeah, they take a super long time. All right. So the three questions I ask everyone to end every episode here. The first one, very simply, is just what motivates you?
What motivates me is my family. Definitely knowing that they push me and they put all their time and effort into, you know, making me who I am today. And definitely they motivate me to be better, to strive, and to make them proud one day. So. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. All right. So the next question, and this is the one similar to what I was asking about what your parents do well. Okay. So this question is, what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now, starting out down a similar path?
Be prepared. Definitely being in the industry, you always have to be prepared. I know like some people think it would be a lot more deep than that, but definitely being prepared is a really, really, really important aspect to it. You always have to, you know, just make sure that you're ready for anything that's coming up. And it's definitely, it can get really hard at some point, but you always have to keep pushing on and be organized and prepared. And being a perfectionist in this, you know, industry is definitely a good thing. And if you just want to make sure that you don't take it too seriously, the perfectionist part in real life, which is something I had to learn the hard way, but definitely be prepared for a lot of things and be dedicated to it. And if it's something that you love, then just push to do better. So
this is something that I'm going to amend that question again now for your parents. So what advice would you give to your younger self's parents and your younger people's parents who are listening now?
Okay. Definitely motivate them. It can definitely be a hard time, especially if they're busy with school and everything. Definitely, you know, kind of let them take their time doing it, but also, you know, try to get them, you know, as good experience and have a lot of things under their belt. So definitely stay patient with them. It can be a tedious experience, but definitely if they love it and if it's something that they want to do with their life, it'll eventually be good for them. So, yeah.
I like that. Okay. So the last question here, this is the hardest one. If you can only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
Phantom of the Opera. That one, it was like one of the first shows that I saw when I was younger. I think I was like 5 years old. And my parents took me to see it. It was at that moment I was like, this woman is so talented. I don't know who it was. I think it was, I don't remember who was the Christine. Christine is also my dream role on Broadway. To play. My vocal teacher has been working on opera with me, and I want to kind of, you know, have a role like that one day when I'm older. But it's definitely not only the show, but the music and the aspect, and also the costumes are just amazing to it. And so I feel like that show also has like a great plot to it, and it's just amazing in general. And if I could watch it like every single hour of my life, I literally would. I have it on DVD, I think, the movie, but yes. So, yeah.
Awesome. So where can we find you on social media?
Follow me at Madison Lagaris Official. So that's my Instagram name. Lagaris is spelled L-A-G-A-R-E-S. It's a lot of people spell it different ways. So, yeah.
Sweet. All right. And you can get more of me at thetheaterpodcast.com. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast. Please leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening now. Hit that like button, that follow button. This has been edited by Well-Rounded Hoodlum Productions. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and outro music. And Madison, thank you most of all. I have really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Make the world a little colorful.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. And of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.